super fruit. This is a great mix. I like all of these vineyards.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's some pretty well-known ones that we can source from besides Pianicito, like Rescue, Honey Bench. Yeah, so a super group, a musical super group, is going to be three of your well-known lead singers coming together to make an amazing performance. This is three of some, two of some. Our last vintage had three. Now this newer vintage just has the two, so it's okay. Minus the River Bench. But it still is a super group. Mm-hmm. So, but Preskill, I mean, they're pretty well known. And the Anacito, they both have some pretty distinctive flavors to their fruit. And so in this blend, you know, it's good. It's very fruit forward. I feel like the 15, minus the River Bench, that it has this little bit of a sharp bite at the end of it, which I feel like is just going to kind of mellow with age. The 14 that we previously had, I feel like it is going in that direction. Just needs a little bit more time. It's still good. It's still drinkable. But, you know, if that sharp bite at the end bothers you, I think just give it a little bit of time. But still really good wine. And then again, I feel like it's just going to be followed by a single vineyard being the Cito, so it's kind of fun to kind of like switch this one around, and then when you try the lead vocals, just to like see if you can identify that being the Cito fruit,
yeah,
which you're going to try in the next one. So again, really youthful, it's fruit forward, but again, I feel like it could mellow out a little bit towards the end.
I like it.
Good, yeah. Thank you.
It's good.
It's a little peppery. I get a little bit of spice.
It reminds me of the Preskill.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see how then the one that's just the Pianicito.
And the one that's just the Preskill.
Just the Preskill.
So that tasting menu over there, I mean, when you get to the Pinots, it starts with the headliner, which is Preskill, and it's good, and then the guest star is better, and then it goes to the hi-hat, and just, I think collectively, the staff think the hi-hat is their favorite, but again, wine is so personal, so it doesn't break anything. But yeah, really good. I keep waiting for your guys' notes. Like, if you guys drink wine a lot, you know, like, I learn more from listening to other people's notes. I'm like, oh, I'm going to steal that. Like, I'm going to save that for my next one. But
yeah, I think, like, the Sauvignon Blanc that we just tried, we decided that was very much like your typical white wine drinker would like love that one. I didn't get a lot of grass on it, but I still got like green bell pepper in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we liked the mouthfeel. It felt very balanced and kind of neutral,
okay,
not like super tart and acidic like some Sauvignon Blancs can be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
So again, this is Preskill and Manisco, and you'll get to try those both individually. So
I think that's really cool. I'm stoked about that.
I'm very excited about that.
Good. Do you mind if we kind of bounce around a little bit then?
Whatever you want to do.
Okay.
You tell us.
All right.
In charge.
Okay. You got it. So I might bounce around a little bit, but then we'll get to... You'll
know. Okay. I should have said that she was the conductor of this musical.
We should have. Yeah. Your brain is not firing on all cylinders.
It is firing.
It's a little late.
This does have a Preskill-y.
I'm delayed.
Preskill-y-ness.
If I was a computer, I'd have like that spinny thing on my mind, like on my forehead.
Now I got it.
Yes, if I was to close my eyes and if I had to guess, like Kurt thinks that's really fun to do to me, he'll open a bottle of wine and make me guess what it is, I would totally be like, oh, this is Preskill. Yeah, there's definitely some like bitterness at the end. So with Pinots.
I know, I like the nose a lot.
Like, do they, I'm sure, obviously they're going to mellow over time as they age, but in my mind, Pinots shouldn't age as long as some of the heavier wines.
Think about Burgundy. Most expensive wines in the world age for years. It's about the composition of the wine. So with Pinot, you're typically not going to have the tannic structure that's going to last over age, but like Burgundy has the acidity.
Mm.
Cooler climate.
True.
The grapes don't get as ripe.
I accept it. I really just want to put my sunglasses on.
Okay, Khloe Kardashian. Are those your prescription ones?
Yeah, I forgot my glasses. Like, I feel like I'm getting a headache, but not from the wine, like, because I keep, like, straining to see things.
So, you had this super group that was the Bien and Priscille. So, this is lead vocals. It's just Bien Macedo. And so, again, you know, I feel like super group is good. Lead vocals is better. You know, it's very smooth. It is dynamic. I feel like there's a lot going on there. And when you're good at it, people say that they know what Bien Macedo smells like just by smelling it. And so I'm not there yet, but I hope to be soon. I know it tastes.
The only time I've ever successfully smelled a vineyard was like the proudest moment of my life, probably.
What and it's, vineyard?
That's a good question. It was the one in it's on San Simeon Creek Road, up in Cambria.
Okay.
And I grew up there, so like I was like, this smells like home. This smells like
the
San
one from
Simeon.
Presqu'ile.
The one from Presqu'ile.
Oh, I don't like that one.
Oh, I didn't like drinking it.
Yeah.
But I smelled it.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And I was really impressed with my, like, I'm still patting myself on the back.
I just remember that smell. It did. It smelled
it
like
does.
The
it
ocean.
It smells like home.
Yeah.
Like it totally did.
Very cool.
And I was quite pleased with myself.
I would give you a come on back. Yeah. So, Bien Macedo. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then we'll flip to this menu, and I'll serve you the headliner next.
Okay. Cool. And this is 2014?
Yes.
Okay.
I like this one better than the last one.
It's smoother than the last one. That's
yes,
for sure.
Much. It doesn't have that, like, I still get a little bit, like, a bitterness at the end, but not like before.
Well, the one on the last one was a 2015, so she's right. It might just need a little bit more
I
time.
Feel like this, like, the bitter... The like not a bad bitter. Like I feel like bitters sometimes makes it sound worse than I mean.
Well, yeah.
But like that
it's
little
the way we use
tinge
it as an adjective
at the end, like it makes it more interesting to me. I'm really impressed with myself for dumping and not just like pounding all these.
Good, you can drive us home.
Well. So we went from lead vocals Bien Macedo. Ooh, look at the color.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Different.
To now, we're at Headliner, which is from Presqu'ile. So this is our only whole cluster fermentation wine. So at Presqu'ile, where the vines grow, it's very sandy soil. It's very clean. So the vines aren't getting any minerals or anything from soil because it's sand. So the fruit there tends to be very fruity, very juicy, fruit forward. So in order to balance that, Josh makes this in the whole cluster fermentation, which simply means along with the fruit, they're throwing in all the sticks and all the stems to give it a little more of an earthy balance. So this one is probably our best-selling bottle in the tasting room. But my favorite thing about this reserve tasting is we start with Headliner. I told you, it's good, and I feel like going down the list, it just gets better.
Yeah. So. That to me is like super chalky. Like I
like that
tan. Felt like a local cluster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely more of that structure, at the, especially at the end. I don't get it so much in the front, but at the end, that's the finish. The finish is kind of tannic.
Yeah. It definitely, like, it tastes like a Santa Maria wine to me for sure. A new description. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's very Santa Maria.
I would never say that because that would be disrespectful to the wine. Like, nothing wants to be Santa Maria E. Like,
gunshots.
Yes. This tastes like gang related death.
Or I could just imagine how you could describe the color of like blood.
Right. This is very Santa Maria E.
This look, never mind, it's gonna get weird.
I think I liked the Bien Macedo better.
I did too. Although I think this one was very interesting.
Yeah. It's really like tobacco-y.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wrong, but
that's a good note.
I don't
not
like
I really
like I don't like how
is.
Much
yeah,
I'm still
I get it
in.
From the remainder and remainder in the
mm-hmm.
glass.
Yeah.
I smell tobacco, which could be the oak influence too. Cool.
place is packed out.
Yeah. It's pretty loud.
Yeah.
So I can imagine, like, when there's a lot of people here, it's probably hard to get in and out of quickly.
Yeah.
And it's small. It's adorable, but it's small.
I love that bathroom.
So this is Guest Star. This is our only San Luis Obispo County wine that we currently have on our tasting menu. And so if you can imagine back in the valley, it's a little bit more of a warmer weather atmosphere. So I feel like that's what gives this one its kind of distinctiveness. It's a little bit more smoky, sort of, than the previous ones, but still really, really good. Did you get enough?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's different, but I think it does a good job of displaying San Luis Obispo County even more.
Where's the vineyard at?
So it's in the Endo Valley area, like off of that old Orchid Road.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't
know. I drive Old Orchid every day, so like I know like there's Chamisal, and then I know like Endo Valley Ranch is all of like Tolosa's fruit.
I don't know exactly where it is.
Okay.
So I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Yeah. It's really good.
Good. Like thank you. Do you guys want some more popcorn?
No, I better not.
More water.
It's too good.
Yeah, I'll take more water.
Yeah.
You got it. I'll be right back. And then when I do come, I'll bring you some water. But and then we have Hi Hat, and then we'll go with some of our darker reds.
Cool. Thank you.
I'm always automatically, that is true. I'm always automatically more partial to Bien Nacido because I love the fruit that comes out of that vineyard, and I love a lot of the wines that come out of that vineyard. But that Edna Valley one was very good.
Yeah, I like this a lot. This has been my favorite wine thus far.
Entirely or just Pinot?
Entirely. My favorite one.
We really liked the last Pinot.
Good, thank you. And I'll bring the Hi-Hat since you guys are ready.
So which one's next, do you think? What's left on that page?
The Hi-Hat.
But like what's left on the other page?
Oh, the
Pear.
Yes, the Le Pear.
And your Tête Brûlée. So this is our last Pinot. So this is the Hi-Hat. This is from Santa Rita Hills, specifically Hilliard Bruce. In my opinion, I haven't had anything bad from Santa Rita Hills. Josh has made several different wines from the area, and I've tried other winemakers' take on it, and you can't go wrong. I mean, you know, in the little AVA that it is, it still has that ocean influence, while still having the really hot sun in the afternoon, which makes it like a prime spot for Pinot grapes. They love it. And so, again, I kind of shared collectively, I think this is the staff's number one pick right now. I would love to hear what you think.
I love how it smells. It smells amazing.
That's really good. Yeah. And the nose is... It kind of has like a little saltiness on the nose, just like the ocean.
I think I liked the last one better, though.
Yeah.
That last one was real good.
I think I like this one better, personally.
I got to meet, so one day this man comes and he looks like a cowboy, like the Marlboro man. He's like, where's that wine of mine? And I don't know who this guy is at all. And I was like,
are you picking up?
He sees me like looking for words and he was like, I'm Jim O'Bain. And I was like, okay. He was like, yeah, you guys make wine from my vineyard. And I was like, okay, and that's the Guest Star.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he was a big personality, but he was really nice in that it was cool that I got to meet him too.
Yeah, that's fun.
And I'm like, yeah, that's my favorite one on the tasting menu too. You know, but I got to meet him, the owner of the vineyard. He was really nice to me, and he has great fruits.
So yeah, it was really
good.
Yeah,
again, it just depends on what you like and where you're at and who you're sharing it with and what kind of the tone of the mood is. So
yeah, that one was really good.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Good, thank you. I will return and we'll do the Le Pear first. So
okay, cool.
It's from our older label, La Fenêtre. I'll be right back.
Yeah, I really liked the Hi-Hat. I liked the Guest Star and the Hi-Hat were my favorites so far.
Yeah, I agree, but I think like Guest Star is number one and Hi-Hat's number two, even though I like the Hi-Hat name better.
But not after she told you it wasn't about
Hi-Hat. I like my version of the Hi-Hat name
better.
Well,
you can just put symbols on top of a top hat.
That sounds like a circus.
You like it.
I kind of want to go to the circus now that they don't have animals.
Which circus?
circus artists? Circus? Wait, what do you mean? Do all circuses not have animals now?
I think they're harder to find with animals. Like, Circus Vargas went animal-free because...
P.T. Barnum's
Well, that sounds worse, honestly. I get, like, I'm glad that the animals aren't there anymore because I know that they weren't treated very nicely. But that means that there's, like, just weird people in it now.
Yeah, that's why I want to go. That sounds great.
You don't like people in masks.
I know, but if they're far away, I could take off my glasses.
Then you won't be able to see what's going on.
I want to go to Cirque du Soleil.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Cirque du Soleil is great.
We should have done that for your bachelorette party.
It's okay. It's not expensive.
We can still go to Vegas. It's not. Still go. I wonder if it's in LA. I'm gonna find out.
Yeah, because they always have like the traveling one, and then like for Vegas, you can always find dates where it's.
However, one of the worst experiences I ever had at Cirque du Soleil, and I've been to a lot of them, was in LA, because they had this little guy dressed up as a grasshopper.
See, I told you, you wouldn't like it.
That was coming through the crowd, and it touched me, and I lost my shit. I was like, oh, like freaking out. It was horrible, and I think the guy, I don't know if he thought it was funny or if he felt bad because
he thought it was funny.
I was like I was so uncomfortable. It was the worst. But other than that experience, I love Cirque du Soleil.
I'm sorry, when I walked in, what were you talking about with masks?
We were talking about the circus in general, and she was like, I want to go to the circus because they don't use the animals anymore. And I was like, I don't want to go to the circus because now that there's not animals, which is great, there's just going to be weird, freaky people in it. And she was like, oh, that's what I want to go see.
Like, I've always wanted to see a bearded woman.
There's a teacher at my school.
I was going to say, you might not have to pay for it.
True.
It's like, if Joe doesn't pluck all my little hair. That's
funny. So, this is Le Pere. So, La Fenêtre, this is the label that Josh started out with when he began making wines. He started in the restaurant business, and then he found an appreciation for wine. He became a sommelier, and then from there, just kind of the world opened up. He was in the right place at the right time, and some pretty well-known wine makers kind of took him under his wing and introduced him to it. So Bob Lundquist from Coupe and Verdade introduced him to making his Chardonnays. And then Jim Clendenin from Avant-Clamont taught him how to make his Pinots. And so these are guys that are like well in the wine biz. They were kind of the reason why Josh got the opportunity to get the Anacito fruit as well. And so this was marketed to high-end restaurants like New York restaurants, Miami restaurants, Las Vegas restaurants. It has a French name, Frenchy-looking label. And so, you know, it's appealing for that, for restaurants. But then when you wanted to kind of rebrand and make something that was more affordable, that was easy to drink, potentially every day if you liked it, kind of has a cool theme throughout it. We since have rebranded, I'm sorry.
Is this, you're just moving through the wine that he had from that, or is this, he's still making this to this day with that label?
No, the first, that we still have some of this that's been aged. And that we are still promoting it now. So there are still, Josh makes his wine with the intention of aging well. And so in his opinion, this is in its prime. Same with our 2007, which I'll pour for you after this.
And it's actually only $36.
Mm-hmm. Is that good?
Yeah. Okay. I was like, man.
So I was talking, so one guest shared with me too, they were like, I like Syrah. But again, I'm still new, having only worked at this particular wine tasting room and having never drank wine before I worked here.
Oh, really?
So I'm still kind of, when I listen to you guys, I'm like filing stuff
away. I wouldn't have guessed that.
No.
You know, I know a lot about Josh's wine.
Which is all that matters, like.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's why now it's like an educational learning thing when I do go out and wine taste. So, or listening when guests come in who are industry people, like I listen and I try to get feedback from them. So one guy was like, oh yes, he was like, I could tell in this one, like the Grenache is really helping to balance out the Syrah. And I was like, okay, like I kind of taste that. And he described it as like there's a dryness when you taste it, like at the beginning, and then there's a dryness in the middle that he said that I don't normally get, and there's a dryness at the end. So he kind of found this dryness all the way through. Do you find that to be kind of the same?
Normally, I find that more in GSM blends because Syrah hits more front palate, Grenache hits more front mid, and then Mourvedre like follows it through. And this, I do find it finishes dry, like I feel the tannin in my mouth, but it's not super lingering like I find with GSM certainly. Okay.
I like that about it though.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I think it's very approachable right now because sometimes with GSMs, like they do need a little bit of time because they get that on the end where it's like
they're always delicious.
Like dark fruit that's been sitting for a little while.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Yeah, I got a lot of licorice at the front, but and like currant.
Okay.
I think that might have bumped Hi-Hat down a notch.
Wow.
I really like that.
It's very, I mean, they're different.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. They're nothing alike. Right.
But if you were to order
when I'm
a glass,
ranking the wine in my mind, that's number two.
No, it's good.
Very cool. Good.
I might need a bottle of that.
I know. It's very good.
And that is a very reasonable price.
Yeah.
Especially for a 10.
I know. It was really good. I feel like it's the perfect wine to get right now.
Yeah.
And have it
drink,
tonight.
Drink now. Yeah. I did not bring wine. I'm sorry.
You don't need to bring wine to my house.
Sometimes it just feels like a dick move to like
show up in my house where I have more wine than I could possibly drink.
No, but like first of all, to invite myself over.
I really, I prefer that because then it's like I don't have to feel like I'm going.
No.
There's less investment. You know, my feelings don't get hurt if like I invite everybody and then people are like, no, we don't want to come. Whereas if you invite yourself, I'm like, sure.
No, that's like Kurt was like, yeah, Joe said he wanted to go to your brother's. And I'm like, oh, that's probably fine. And he's like, yeah, that's what I told him. I was like, oh, Eric will be stoked because he doesn't have to drive up here for once.
Right?
I really am going to point out that I appreciate this about the wine club right now. So they have their fan club, super fan, and backstage pass. Like, that's clever. But it tells you how much money for each shipment.
Yeah, and it's not like average of.
Yeah, up to.
It says up to.
And I've been in
so
a lot of
wine clubs.
So you
know it's
going to
be
clubs.
A hard stop at whatever price.
Yeah, point. And you know, if I know that I can get 4 bottles, wow, that's actually a really good deal. 4 bottles 3 times a year and it's never going to be more than $150.
Yeah, that is that's a deal.
Really good deal. Like, I appreciate that very, very much. And like 12 bottles for $350 per shipment.
But
like
3 times a year.
No, I know, yeah, but still, yeah. This is a good deal.
Yeah, because it's 25% off for that one.
Yeah.
Particularly.
I really appreciate that. I think that's super cool. That is not something you see in most places.
Yeah.
So.
We like the wine club verbiage that it's not like average of, it's like a hard stop of up to.
Yeah, no, that's really cool, and that is not common, and as a consumer, it's much appreciated.
Yeah.
So, again, because the times that I do visit other wineries, sometimes not all that information is available readily,
mm-hmm.
But is it normal that it gives you a range?
Okay. No.
Or
so normally it'll just say like you get a 20% discount, right? And like if you're committing to 4 bottles, like who knows
yeah.
What that's gonna
it
be.
It could be any price.
Four,
like, yeah.
6, or 12.
Okay. Yeah.
A lot of places do let you customize, but they don't give you any kind of range, or they'll say like it's gonna be an average of $150, but one time it could be $190, one time it could be
$100. Yeah, I can't recall ever seeing it listed like this before.
Specifically,
and
yeah.
I think that's really cool because that is something to like consider when you're joining wine clubs. Like, oh crap.
Like, I want to be able to count on it being this much or under.
Yeah.
And for example, this shipment, we weren't quite to that 150 mark. So the 4 people, the fan club, they get a 5th bottle of wine.
Oh. That is really cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we sign up for 4, knowing that it's going to be about 150.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Whoever organized your wine club did a real good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, I think we do have a
Yeah.
And she comes from experience from big wineries that have like 5,000 plus wine club members, and so to have her, you know, knowledge and experience has been really helpful too.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's very, very cool. I'm super into that.
It's cool to know that that's like something that we have that other people don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, the names are great.
Yeah. I do think that they're fun. I mean, all the way down to, you know, the fact that the label looks like a concert ticket, and then just with all the different art that they have on the walls, it's very consistently musical-based. Josh and his inserts for the new shipments, he, instead of pairing the wine with food, he pairs them with music that you should listen to.
Oh,
and so it's kind of cool that he'll ask.
That's clever. That's really clever.
I think it's cute.
I hope
people
knows,
don't
like,
even read these, Denise. And I'm
I always read that stuff.
Yeah.
But I would like to recommend he use some Beach House, because that's what this wine has made me think of more than once, actually.
Very cool. I will tell him.
Yes.
I will tell him that.
Ooh, or Devandra Bandhart. That'd be good. He's like this
Portuguese.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Super hot Portuguese.
Really?
Guy.
What is his name?
Devandra Bandhart.
I'm gonna have to Google it right now.
Yeah, he's got just like, I love his music.
It's
and,
really good.
Yeah.
Devandra.
Mm-hmm.
So this last one on your tasting, this is a 2007, hence we decant these just to like get some more oxygenization going. Tête Brûlée, so it's a Napa Valley Cabernet, and this just happened to be, 2007, and Josh hasn't had the opportunity to work with Napa Valley Group since, because it was just like a random partnership. A guy that he knows called him one day and was like, I have this fruit, I don't know what to do with it, will you help me make something? And Josh was like, are you kidding me? Yes, I will, of course, thank you for asking. And so this is their partnership, this is what came from it. And again, you know, with his, he makes wine to age, and in his opinion, this is prime.
That's another thing, actually, that I will say I really appreciate about being here with the two aged wines we've had. Like, thank you for telling us it's in its prime, because that's something, like, we're always asking people about, like, how long do you recommend aging? Like, I'm really advocating for people to put a best buy date on their wine. I think that would be a really good idea. So far, no one's catching on. But I think it's really cool that you are pouring it and telling us, like, drink this now.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's, you know, like, I know a little bit about wine. I certainly enjoy wine, and I have a collection. But, like, I don't always know when to drink it. So I really appreciate, like, drinking
it. Other than the trial and error.
Yeah, which you don't want to mess around. Like, I don't want to error a bottle.
Yeah. Well, and that's another thing that Josh includes in his inserts with each bottle of wine. He'll tell you, like, best between these dates.
Yeah.
And he'll give you, like, a, you know, an
year.
Average of years to go by. But, like, another thing that I just learned recently, so we're having an employee meeting, and we're sipping all the new shipment wines that are going out to our guests, and in our whites only fan club, they're including a 2010 Chardonnay.
Hmm.
And so, you know, what's really cool is that Josh had made notes, tasting notes about this Chardonnay back then when he made it. Mm-hmm. And then we're tasting it now.
And it's going to be so different.
It's so different. And it was really neat to compare. And he told us, he was like, you know, people normally age Chardonnays.
No, it's unusual to have a...
And he was like, and I had no idea that it would be this good right now.
Yeah.
He was like, but I just happened to, you know, he's like, not everybody saves Chardonnays. You normally want to drink Chardonnays when they're fresh.
Yeah.
But, you know, within a couple of years, he's like, that this is as good as it is. He's like, I had no idea. You know?
That's
but
awesome, though. What a great fluke.
And then some of our guests get to try that and they're trying it, you know, and to see, wow, this age Chardonnay really is good. And then,
hold up.
You know, again, it could be. Tasting notes, it said like good till 2017 or something.
Oh,
you know, so he just gives you an idea of what his best recommendation is. But
yeah,
as you can see, kind of in this blue,
yeah,
it's
can change.
Better than
yeah,
you could imagine.
That's really cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So my last question that I've been asking people too is, like, I know that we talked about SIP certified, and some of the grapes that you source are from SIP certified vineyards or organic or whatever the case may be. How does that translate into the cellar practices? So, like, in his winemaking, is he
like experimenting? Is it more low minimal intervention, or what's his approach to winemaking?
That is a really good question.
For him.
It's funny because when I started, I was like, Josh, I know all these people are going to ask me questions that I don't know. And he was like, Denise, all you say is, that's a really good question. I should know the answer to it. And I'm going to find out for you. But I don't know the production end of it, which I do want to learn more. This last harvest, I finally got an opportunity to go to the winery to like see kind of the process of it. So the production end, I don't know that much.
That's okay. Yeah.
So I can't answer. But because you have that question and others might in the future, it will be something that I ask. You
For
know,
sure.
I always learn something, even just eavesdropping in on his conversations. And some people, you know, do ask. Mm-hmm. Maybe they are industry people or maybe they're winemakers themselves. But there'll be, you know, people that come in and they, like, have a demeanor and they know all this stuff, and so it would be helpful to know as well.
I know that it's such like a broad demographic that you're probably like appealing to,
and
having
every
day.
I was so worried that every single person that came in was going to be this wine.
They're like,
snob.
Is it good? Do I like it? Great.
And it's more just people like wanting to have a good time, you know, like just want some company. It's like a different sort of atmosphere than a bar. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more refined.
Especially being in town.
Yeah.
You probably get an even like
wider
range of people than like up in Paso or even out in Edna, where it's winery.
Yeah. And it's not people who, you know, specifically came here. It's like they're walking by and they pop in.
It is. Or because we're so close to the beach, it's just touristy people who are looking for something to do in town, you know, and like wine tasting is what this area is known
for.
And so it's a, you're right, a wide demographic of people. So I'm lucky in that way. And the wine snobs, I learned, they come right out and tell you, hey, I'm a wine snob. And they're the ones that learn the most from. I kid you not.
Yeah.
Well, sure. They're the ones that care more.
And you can just say, like, what do you taste?
Yeah.
That's exactly what
Or you're not here to listen to me.
Yeah.
You're here to talk about the wine.
Yeah.
I'm so modest when it comes to that. I'll be like, oh, like, I don't know much. I'm new here, you know? And so they're like, oh, perfect. It's like a blank canvas.
Oh, and people love that. You know,
and
they love getting to tell you.
Listener, you know, so it works out.
Well, thank you very, very much. It was
great.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, so you can take your time and hang out for as long as you want. If there's additional pours or something else that you want to revisit or taste, I'm happy to bring that into you as well.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, I think we'll probably like make a decision on some purchases and then come out and see
you. Do you want a pin or anything to take notes or?
No, I'm good.
Are you guys good on water?
Yeah,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Time.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Love so you guys, we are doing a new approach right now where we do everything all at once. We're not like stopping and telling you about it. We happen to be in a private room, which is really great.
And I'm just a little too tired.
Jamie's
to
a little
try too
tired.
Hard. Sorry guys. Timber.
So this was a great tasting. It might be a little bit longer of an episode than normal,
but that's because we get to taste all
we
the
a whole
wines.
Lot of wines. We tasted a lot of wines. It was great.
It was.
I'm going to say I'm pleasantly surprised. Like, I expected this year, you're like, the mill, like, we have Chardonnay and we have Pinot, like, just based off of the website. But they've got a lot going.
I'd driven by. That's all I knew.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised because when we got here, because I didn't know anything about this place. Here and when we got here, I saw so many Pinots. And while I enjoy a Pinot and I can appreciate the complexity that comes with a Pinot, sometimes they're just all Pinots, you know? Like, there's
you get
not
a little burnt out, especially in this area.
But like, they really covered the entire taste spectrum of Pinot, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone was different, everyone
was, like,
brought
earthy,
something else to the table.
Forward.
Like, it wasn't like I was just like at other places that are Pinot heavy. Which I won't mention. I feel like I'm having a glass and a half of the same wine because it's Pinot, 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 and they're not that different.
Mm-hmm.
where I felt like this really
it's like
had...
like one's from 2014 and one's from 2015.
Yeah, no, but this was really cool. I really enjoyed it. I highly recommend coming here, especially if you're like out and about or if you have time to kill before lunch or dinner or after brunch or something.
No, it's great.
And it's so cute.
It's located, really cute, in a little old craftsman house that's converted into the tasting room. Super cute. The logo has multiple interpretations.
It's wood.
It's a wine bottle.
It's wood.
It's a tuning fork. It's all of the above.
It's a turkey carving fork. No, but it does kind of look like that with the tines, or like you stick it in and you get it.
Yeah, you could definitely
a little bit
pitchfork something.
A little bit
could be a weapon, except as blunt edge.
And it, I'm sorry. Okay, like
the price points too are there's
a little something spectrum for everybody.
Yeah. So the highest price bottle is $60. So you
which
have everything
bad
from 18 to 60.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like
I
that covers
that
all your bases.
Yeah. I appreciate that they are okay with you saying timber, because timber should have an A. And it doesn't. It might, like, technically not, but when you say that, it sounds like there is an A. So it is reasonable to look at this name and think timber, and they're okay with that, and thank you very much.
Yep. It says it on a plaque outside, evidently. So, anyway, we had a great experience.
We did. We had a good time.
They were
Denise
very accommodating.
Denise was awesome.
Denise was really awesome.
Enjoyed her personality and, like...
very approachable. You know, it was really great that she wasn't just one of the tasting attendants that tells you everything and, like, my word is law. Like, she was like, what do you taste? Like, what is your take on it? That was really cool and helpful.
I would also like to take a moment to thank our secret guest.
Our secret guest.
Who you might hear chime in.
Last name, I don't remember.
we'll leave it out. It's a mystery. Yeah.
She's a mystery
Maybe
guest.
She doesn't want the fanfare that comes with being associated with, with our podcast.
Fame and fortune. Anyway, check us out online, guys, centralcoastuncorked.com. Social media, as usual, is @centralcoastuncorked, and we will see you next week.
Bye.